So yesterday, I come up with this really funny bit to do before the theme music. I cannot for the life of me remember what it was. So what I thought I'd do is I'd let you think of something really funny. Are you doing it? Is it funny? I knew it would be. Run the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, says team, trusty old Red Rider Carbine Action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to episode I neither know nor care of the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack. Let's do the interactive bit. How you doing? Yeah, I'm good. No, I don't know what number. No, I've lost track. It's just, well, I've done like loads. So just, it's just loads. Okay, do you remember what number the last episode was? Yeah, it's that plus one. Uh-huh. Cool. And scene. Right, there we go, that's out of the way. I've got a packed show for you, it's quite a long one, so I'm not going to mess around, I'm going to get straight into it with... What? Is what? Oh, really? That is Christmassy, yeah? I can't, do you know what, I can't talk. No, because I'm doing a podcast. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, but I'm just about to introduce the next segment. Is that right? Do you know what, there's no one here. I'm talking to myself. Let's do the segment. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. Here it is, boys and girls. Yeah, let's get it out of the way at the start of this show. You know what happens? I ask you 10 questions, you write down 10 answers. You don't write them down, do you? You sort of think of them in your head. You should write them down. I make an effort, you should make an effort. That happens, then I give you the answers, and that's that. It's going to be fun, he says. So let's start with question number one. Are you ready? In which of his songs does Bob Dylan sing, "Well, I go to pet your monkey, I get a face full of claws, I ask who's in the fireplace and you tell me Santa Claus"? What song was that? Question number two. How many humans are given to me, to moi, by my true love on the 12th day in the song The 12 Days of Christmas? How many? You're going to need a pen and paper for that one, aren't you? Yeah. Okay, question number three. Who played the three wise men in the nativity scene at the start of the film Monty Python's Life of Brian? If you want the whole point, you've got to get all three of them. All three. Question number something. Oh, nice one, this one, yeah. What is the name of the residents of the town from whom the Grinch steals Christmas? What is the name of the residents? I don't want every single one of their names. You don't have to list them all off, do ya? No. I'll settle for 50. If you can give me 50... No, just the collective name of the residents of the town. Well, you know. Okay, question number something. 50-50 one, this one, kids. Who eat more Brussels sprouts per head of population? The British or Belgians? Because obviously Brussels is in Belgium. Who eats more? Right. Question number... An angel told Mary that her child's name should be Jesus, right? What does the name Jesus mean? What does that mean? What does it mean to you? Question number something. This is only Christmassy because it was the Christmas number one, but I thought I'd add it. Who had the 1968 Christmas number one single with the song Lily the Pink? Do you want me to sing it for you? Okay, here we go. We drink a drink a drink to Lily the Pink, the Pink, the Pink, the saviour of the human race. For she invented medicinal compound that's efficacious in every case. That's just the chorus. Okay, who sung that? Question number... I don't know. Stop asking me questions. My job's to ask you questions. Don't ask me questions. It makes my little brain hurt. In which 2019 biopic film does Renee Zellweger perform the song "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas"? Question number nine. Balsam, Fraser, Cannon, That's spelled C-A-N-A-A-N. I'm guessing I'm saying it right. Douglas and Noble are types of what? What? And the last one, in which Nordic country do families have a traditional Christmas Eve meal which includes... Now, I'm going to try and read out their language version, but then you'll get the translation anyway. So don't get upset if my pronunciation is naff. Here we go. It includes ribbe, which is pork ribs, pinnekjøtt, which is salted or dried lamb ribs, lutefisk, dried cod, and rakfisk, fermented trout. Okay, that was your 10 questions. God, I rattled through them a bit quick, didn't I? We'll have this episode done and dusted in no time at this rate. Right, here come your answers. Okay, question number one. In which of his songs does Bob Dylan sing, "When I go to pet your monkey, I get a face full of claws. I ask who's in the fireplace, you tell me Santa Claus." That was On the Road Again. Yeah, and it's not On the Road Again, I can't wait to get back on it. It's not that one. It's another version, which I just had a listen to, and I'd never heard it before. I don't know if you had, and it's not even a Christmas song. It just mentions Santa Claus. What kind of Christmas quiz is this? The best Christmas quiz you're going to listen to today, hopefully. Question number two. How many humans are given to me by my true love on the 12th day in the song The 12 Days of Christmas? How many humans? Are you ready for the answer? It's 50. I don't know where I'm going to put them, to be honest. So you've got your 12 drummers drumming, 11 pipers piping, that makes 23, 10 lords a leaping, 33, 9 ladies dancing, 42, 8 maids a milking, and that makes 50. There you go. A lot more men than women, isn't there? Bit of a sausage party, that one. Okay, right, next one. Who played the three wise men in the nativity scene at the start of the film Monty Python's Life of Brian? I can tell you, I only got two of these, so I'm not getting a point, and neither are you if you only got two. They were John Cleese and Michael Palin. I got those two. I thought Eric Idle, but it was actually Graham Chapman. Yeah. So there you go. Question number four. What is the name of the residents of the town from whom the Grinch steals Christmas? That is, of course, well, I'll begin by saying, all the Whos down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. There you go, it's the Whos, of course. That was an easy one, wasn't it? Question number something, however. Who eats more Brussels sprouts per head of population, the British or the Belgians? It is, of course, the British. Yeah, I guessed that one. Question whatever. An angel told Mary that a child's name should be Jesus, and it was a bit of an issue, actually, because she'd already decided on the name Derek. And then the angel comes along and it's like, "You're going to call your baby Jesus?" And she's like, "Well, I've already decided the name." And the angel Gabriel's like, "Well, no, because you've got to call it Jesus." And she's like, "No, I want to call him Derek because it's after my dad." And the angel's like, "Hang on a minute, you're not even pregnant yet. I've just turned up. You didn't even know you were pregnant." And Mary's like, "Oh yeah, this joke doesn't really work, does it, Jack? You've ruined another podcast. Move on." Anyway, what does Jesus mean? And I got this wrong. I thought it meant God among us, but it actually means saviour. Okay, yeah. Well, it actually means healer, physician, or saviour. So yeah, we're going with saviour. Or I would have accepted healer or physician. Question number something. Who had the 1968 Christmas number one single with the song Lily the Pink? We drink a drink the Lily the Pink saviour of the bippa doo da ba dee ba da ba ba dee ba da ba 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 da ba da ba doo ba doo. So, do you know what? It's not a Christmas song, but it was a Christmas number one, which is why I thought I'd add that question. I didn't add it, you know, I got it out of this book. So the answer is The Scaffold. And the band was made up of a guy called Mike McGear, Roger McGuff, John Gorman, and Peter Michael McCartney, who was actually the brother of Paul McCartney. A lot of people out there might not be familiar with the band The Scaffold, and I just thought, yeah, you might be interested to know, Paul McCartney's brother had a number one single as well. Yeah, so the song actually got to number one in the UK, like I said, and it also got to number one in Australia and Ireland. Yeah, got to number two in South Africa, did all right in Europe as well. Austria and Belgium made the top five. So yeah, apparently, I know you're not interested, but I'm telling you anyway, because I'm interested, and there might be one or two people out there, if you're British maybe, might be interested. It is a modernisation of an older folk song titled The Ballad of Lydia Pinkham. And also, this might interest none of you. Backing vocalists on the recording included Graham Nash, who was in the Hollies, Elton John, and Tim Rice. Yeah, so there you go. That was that question. Now it's this question. In which 2019 biopic film does Renee Zellweger perform the song Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas? Well, that is the biopic of Judy Garland, and it is called Judy. Yeah, I knew that one. Actually, me and the wife watched it not that long ago. It was all right, actually. Yeah. Question, oh, number nine now. Oh, only two left. Balsam, Fraser, Kanan, Douglas, and Noble are all types of what? They are types of Christmas tree. Or fir tree, but really Christmas tree, fir trees. Because there's lots of fir trees that you wouldn't use as a Christmas tree. These ones, you know what I mean. And the last question, in which Nordic country do families have a traditional Christmas Eve meal, which includes loads of hideous sounding food? That would be, okay, do you want me to list it again? Pork ribs, they're alright. Salted or dried lamb ribs, I'm sure that's fine. Dried cod might be right. Fermented trout, probably not that nice, but you know, they eat it. That is Norway. So there you go. That was your 10 questions. Do you want to know what I scored? I scored 7. Yeah, I didn't get the Monty Python one. I thought Jesus meant God Among Us, and I didn't know that On the Road Again song. I don't know how you got on. I hope you enjoyed it, though. Let's move on, and we'll do this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
It's the first of our segments with Bob Baker, and it's a very interesting one, this episode. I'll let him do the talking. Take it away, Bob.
You know, I drink alcohol at the advice of my therapist. He says I just shouldn't keep things bottled up. So there was a new movie out last year called 8-Bit Christmas. It was set in the part of the U.S. where I live, the Chicago suburbs. Just like another popular holiday film. It has that same kind of Home Alone feel, as it is a throwback to 1980s nostalgia. Today, for Do You Hear What I Hear, we're going to turn our normal process on its head. In the movie, Neil Patrick Harris, as Jake Doyle, tells the story of the Christmas when he was young and all he wanted was a Nintendo game console. He concocts a number of elaborate schemes with his friends to try to get the video game system, including participating in a Boy Scout contest to sell the most Christmas wreaths. He faces a humiliating task of going door to door, and at one point he is told to look out for those no solicitor signs. So this is when I expected the alarms to sound for our British fans. I figured they would ask, what's wrong with our American friends that they don't like having lawyers come to their homes? Because in the UK, a solicitor is a legal professional who provides advice and support to clients behind the scenes, but they don't argue cases in court. Those are the ones in the wigs, which is another cultural oddity. But anyway, we automatically assume that because the two words sound identical, they must be connected. However, the English use of the noun solicitor doesn't derive directly from the rakish US verb solicit. In the States, a solicitor is generally considered to be someone who solicits, who comes to your door to sell you something, ask for a donation, or preach about Jesus. The term has become kind of disreputable here, and even a bit sleazy, as it stems from an old French word, solliciteur, meaning to disturb, trouble, arouse, and excite. And when used in reference to women, to entice or lure to immorality. So really, a reference to prostitution. So you will find signs bearing the phrase, no solicitors, found at the front doors of homes in the US. Now in Britain, the original source for their solicitor is a Latin word, solicitus, which means agitated. And then it's traced to its earlier use as one who urges, or one who conducts business on behalf of others. So the real question here is, who would you rather have show up at your door? A solicitor or a solicitor? Cheers and happy Christmas.
Do you know what? Every episode, Bob seems to up his game, and I find it more and more interesting. I've always been a fan of etymology. I really do enjoy that sort of thing. But Bob does a blinding job there. Yeah, I knew what solicitor meant, as in going door to door and stuff. I don't think we use it much over here at all. I also knew what solicitor meant, as in like a lawyer. But I did not know where it all came from. So thank you so much for that, Bob. It'll be back again in a bit. But right now, we've got to do this. Here it is, boys and girls, the moment that no one's been waiting for. It's the joke. And again, this comes from my Christmas joke toilet roll. And it's a doozy, is it? You be the judge. What do snowmen call their offspring? Children. Children. Chill, because they're cold. Children. Yeah. What does everyone else call their offspring? Children. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Boys and girls, I think this is the first interview I've had this year, and we're nearly at the end of June. Can you believe that? I can, because I've been pretty lax with the interviews. I do all this research. I should do more interviews. Don't have to do the research. I just ask people questions. They give me answers. That's research. Yeah. Anyway, this one's blinding because we're talking to a real live Santa Claus. This is Matt Spaulding. He's also the host of the podcast North Pole Radio, and it's fantastic. And I've been listening to it a load, and I thought, do you know what? I have got to get him on the show. I want to hear a bit about what it's like to be Santa Claus. It's something I've always wanted to do myself. I haven't, but Matt has, and me and him are going to have a good old chat about it. So here it comes. Okay, boys and girls, I've got a treat for you today. I have the host of the North Pole Radio podcast, and his name is Matt Spaulding. Say hello, Matt.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm excited to be here.
Well, this isn't the first Santa I've spoken to.
No,
but this is the first Santa, and I feel guilty about that. But this is the first Santa who's got his own podcast. Could you just tell us, first up, what you do when you're Santa? Just a general overview so everyone understands.
Sure. Well, I do a lot of home visits and a lot of virtual visits. And what that entails mostly is I tell a lot of stories when I'm Santa. I have a lot of props and a lot of stories that go along with teaching kids kind of answers to questions that they may have about Santa and the North Pole and about Christmas, but also kind of teaching them about real life things as well. I try to work in education a little bit into my performance. For example, here we go. I'll go into an example. Now, wait, let me get into story mode here. Okay. Because I don't have my prop, so nobody can see my prop. But just imagine, okay, I'm holding a little orb in my hand and it lights up and it changes color. It is my magic aurora orb. Now, you see, the magic aurora orb is very important because inside I have the northern lights. Now, the scientific name for the northern lights you see is aurora borealis, but that's kind of a tongue twister. So we just call them the Northern Lights. And the Northern Lights are very important for Christmas because these make it so that reindeer can fly. Now, I'll tell you how that works. Light is the fastest thing in the whole wide world. Do you want to know how fast light is? Light is so fast it can go around the whole world 7.5 times in 1 second. 7.5 times. 7.5 times. 7.5 times. I need to go that fast to get to all those homes on Christmas Eve. So I open this up, and I'm not going to open it up now. If I let this out, we're all going to zoom out of here. But on Christmas Eve, I open this up and I put it on the reindeer and I put it all over the sleigh and zoom, off we go. Now, reindeer, you know, they have big antlers, right? And they have big hooves. And when we're going that fast, have you ever stuck your hand out a car window and you can feel the wind going by. Well, that's also how an airplane flies, because it's got big wings and it goes real fast, and all that wind gets under the wings and lifts the whole airplane up. And all that wind does the same thing for the reindeer in the sleigh. It gets under their big antlers, and it gets under their big hooves, and it gets right under the sleigh, whoosh, and it lifts us all right up in the air. And that's just one. I have other things like that. I have my box of fairy dust, and the fairy dusts do different things. And I have, you know, my magic key, and I go in, and it's like 40 minutes to an hour that I kind of go in and I entertain kids with, you know, with these stories and everything like that. So
that'll be 40 minutes for one visit. Just one house with like how many kids?
With as many kids as they want. You know, I've done a big Christmas cookie decorating party where there was, you know, like a dozen kids. I've done like two kids in a household, you know.
But so. For 40 minutes still, you're there for 40 minutes chatting to the kids.
Yeah, 40 minutes to an hour usually. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh wow. Okay. And are you a mall Santa? Have you got like a mall, a shopping mall?
Never done that. Nope.
Never at all.
Nope.
And so what about like Christmas parties, like sort of corporate events, things like that?
I would do them. I did last year, for an example, I did a golf country club. They were having a members brunch, and I was there at part of that, and kids could come over and chat with me at that and have their picture taken. Those types of settings are not necessarily my favorite thing. I enjoy them, but I really do like going in and doing the stories and everything like that. So
most of the stuff you do are individual private houses.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that right? Oh, wow. Yep. Okay. I see. Yeah.
I did last year between home visits and virtual visits, where virtual visits are essentially the same thing as a home visit, only just over Zoom. Like you and I are doing now. Your listeners can't see, but I've got my Santa's workshop set behind me. And it's essentially the same thing. It's sometimes a little bit shorter because there's just some things I can't do unless I'm right there in the room. So virtual visits are a little bit shorter. And my microphone isn't right in the way. Obviously, when I do virtual visits, I take it down and I hide it out of sight. I did like 30, 32 last year, something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head. Yeah.
So you've not been in it that long. How many years have you been doing it?
It was my first year 2019, I think. So yeah, 29. Yeah, it must have been, because I only had one season under my belt before COVID happened. So 2019 was my first season. So yeah.
So can you tell us how you got into it then? What happened? Oh,
I sure can. It's a long story. Buckle up. So here's the thing. When I was really young, probably still believed in Santa. That's how young I was. I still believe in Santa, but that's a different subject altogether. But, you know, you used to get at least here in the United States, probably you got something similar in the UK. We used to get JCPenney and Sears wish books at Christmas time. They were just big, thick Christmas catalogs that had everything in them, not just toy, but they had a big, big toy section, which was part of the draw for a kid my age back then. And so I'd just be going through this Christmas book, these Christmas catalogs, and in some segment of the book, probably in their Christmas decoration segment or something like that, they had Santa Claus suits. Nothing like what I mean, back then they were probably made by a company called Halco, which sort of still exists. It's been absorbed by a couple other companies, but I think you can still buy something under the Halco name. And Halco made cheap to what now would be considered a mid-range Santa suits. So when I was a kid and I saw that, I thought in my little kid brain, not like, wait, you know, adults just dress up like Santa. When you go out, you don't really see Santa. You just see some random adult dress. No. I thought, my mind went to Halloween costume and dress up and play. I thought, whoa, you can dress up like Santa Claus? Boy, that's really cool. I wish I could do that. But of course, they didn't have a suit in a child size. So a lot of years went by and I got older and I never really stopped thinking it was something I wanted to do someday. But at the time, I assumed I was going to have to wait to be an old man and grow my own full white beard. And I started working for the United States Postal Service as a letter carrier. And as a letter carrier, at Christmas time, you pick up letters to Santa Claus. Because in the 2000s, children still write physical mail to Santa Claus. And it would pile up on the supervisor's desk. Didn't really go anywhere. Except to the dead letter office, which you may or may not know from Miracle on 34th Street. They actually mention Santa mail going to the dead letter office in Miracle.
Oh, that's probably where I've heard that term before. Yeah, I recognize.
Hey, yeah. Lou, how many bags of Santa Claus mail we got down at the dead letter office?
That's it.
Yep. That's what he says when he gets the letter in the original Miracle on 34th Street. But when I was a kid, I don't know how. I don't know. Probably my parents or maybe a friend of theirs or something like that. My brother and I, we got letters back from Santa Claus, you know, when wrote to Santa Claus.
Well, they obviously didn't go to the dead letter office then.
No, letters. Which is...
They went to North Pole.
Interestingly enough, they came on like... My parents probably still have them in their house somewhere, but they came on like nice Santa Claus stationery and everything like that. So either they or someone they knew, or maybe at the time there was like a business that did it. I don't really know. I've never asked them. So I said to my supervisor when I worked at the Postal Service, I said, anybody do anything with these? And they said no. And I said, is there any reason I can't take them home and answer them? And they said, no. And so I did. And I did that for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, something like
that. How many letters would you say?
You know, I live in a small area. I work in a small area. So not like a bunch, you know, 10 a year tops, maybe.
Oh, that's good. That's manageable, isn't it?
Yeah. And so I went, you know, I went out and I bought nice. I went out to Staples, which was, you know, the best place to buy paper in town. And mm-hmm. I got nice Christmas stationery and I just started writing back. And I did that for, like I said, 4 or 5 years, maybe. And then it crossed my mind again, boy, I'm having a lot of fun answering these letters. I kind of don't want to just write letters anymore. I kind of really want to go be Santa Claus. My problem was still, I'm 35. So in 2019, I was, 5 years ago? I was 30. I wasn't going to grow and bleach a beard at 35 years old or 30 years old and go around with a full white beard at 30 years old. That just seems silly. The other thing I did not want to do was wear one of those very obviously fake Santa beards, and everybody can picture it. I call it a rug beard. It looks like somebody's terrible shag rug. It's made out of nylon or some other stupid fake material. And nobody buys that. It's a real, nobody, not even children buy that. Yeah. That's a real beard. Can't even see the mouth because the mustache is attached. But I started looking around at alternatives because I knew at the time that theater companies, you know, live theater companies, they use artificial beards for characters for live theater that glue onto the face, you know. So they had to come from somewhere. And what I ended up finding actually was a company out of China called ZM Hair. She was very early on. Her name, the woman that runs it, her English name is Maggie. That's what she goes by in English. We all just call her Maggie. Very nice woman. She was making Santa beards out of yak. Now.
Oh, wow.
Yak hair. Now, here's the thing. A long time ago, that's what Santa beards used to be made out of. I'm going to give everybody a history lesson. I told you this was a long story, by the way. used to be, back in, this be 86 years ago now, there was a man named Charlie Howard here in the United States, started a school for Santa Clauses. Charles W. Howard Santa Claus School.
That's in Michigan, is that right?
It's in Michigan now. It wasn't always in Michigan. Charlie is actually from a town called Albion, New York, which is where the first Charles W. Howard Santa School was Albion, New York. Now, Charlie started this school because Charlie really believed in portraying Santa Claus right and in guys portraying Santa Claus looking right. And if you look up a picture of Charlie Howard as Santa Claus, Charlie had a huge Santa beard, yak hair. It was the thing's massive. If you just look, everybody look it up. Nobody wears a beard like this anymore. But at the time, that's what they did. Because men at the time didn't grow their own beards. Facial hair was not fashionable. It was not proper gentlemen, nice guys, businessmen didn't wear beards, but those were the guys that played Santa. They were guys that had, you know, they were businessmen. They were typical men of the 30s, you know, United States of America in the 1930s, just did not grow your own beard. Every Santa you saw wore fake beards. And so the good ones, which is what Charlie wanted to teach, was wanted to teach people how to be proper, wore these really nice beards made out of yak hair. But that kind of went away after a while because they just stopped making them in the United States. They stopped making them anyway. You can't, there's like one company here in the United States now who is making yak hair Santa beards. And he only sort of makes like one or two different looks is really all that company does. Maggie, on the other hand, was making them in several different styles. And she makes even more styles now than she did in 2019 when I found her. And they're a good price. They're only $400, $500, $600, $700, $800. They're not like, they're all handmade. They're not machine made. So they're all made by hand and they're on lace and they have elastic and they glue to your face so they can look like you grew them. Yeah.
You actually have to, you glue your beard to your face then?
I sure do. Mm-hmm.
Every time?
Mm-hmm.
How long does that take?
I've got it down to a science now. I can get ready in about half an hour.
So it still takes you half an hour. And so just so
well,
you know,
that's all total. That's wash my face because you got to wash. You got to scrub my face with rubbing alcohol. That gets all the oil off your face because the adhesive isn't going to work very well if you've got like a lot of oils on your face. So that's wash my face, scrub my face, do my makeup. I whiten my eyebrows. Then I put my adhesive on. And then I put the beard on, put my mustache on, put my wig on, and get dressed. That's about half an hour to 40 minutes. Yeah.
So the beard is in two parts, the beard and the mustache. The mustache is separate.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. So just so you know, boys and girls, you can't see Matt, obviously. He's completely clean shaven and a shaved head as well.
Yep.
So you've got a wig that would go on top.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then the beard, then the mustache, and obviously the hat goes on top of that, I'm guessing.
Yep. But I don't wear my hat much when I'm indoors anymore.
So even on if you're on a Zoom chat or if you're going to someone's house, do you sort of wear it when you're going around there and then take it off when you go indoors or just?
Yep. I'll tell you what I do. My very first season, I bought a plush Santa Claus suit. Big mistake. Plush is, I mean, it's like a suit made out of the material they'd make a teddy bear out of. Hot as can be. Now I'll tell you, yak hair is also very warm. That you can get, there's a company in Kentucky called Custom Wig Company. And there's actually a couple companies in Europe that do this too. And I can't remember the name of them off the top of my head. I feel really bad, but because they're out of Europe, I haven't paid too much attention to what they're doing. But Custom Wig Company in Kentucky uses human hair. There's a difference between human hair and yak hair. Yak hair is a bit of a thicker hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's very coarse. And yak are big animals that are meant to either live in a barn or evolved to live outdoors. Their hair is meant to hold heat in the wintertime. Okay. So my yak hair, beard, and wig look amazing. I mean, I've had people say to me, how long did it take you to grow that beard? Because it just looks like it's growing out of my face.
Just so you know, boys and girls, if you go on Matt's website, there are pictures of him as Santa, and it is incredible. When I first saw the picture of Matt, and then I saw the picture of Santa, you wouldn't think it's the same person. It's quite incredible, quite incredible.
Yeah,
you don't look 35. You no. look 75 maybe.
Yeah,
the age is 40 years in half an hour.
They look beautiful, right? But boy, are they warm. They hold heat into my body. Human hair ones. Less so. I don't own a human hair one. They're more expensive. They're made in the United States. Maybe someday I'll get one just to see what it's like. But I haven't
felt. Just the wig though. Not that you can't get a human hair beard.
Yep, can you? You can. Yeah, you can.
Oh, you can. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah,
absolutely. She does.
Made from someone's beard hair.
No, she makes them out of head hair. A lot of the ones she makes at Custom Wig Company are not my preferred look because human head hair usually is a lot straighter than beard hair. Beard hair is a little coarser, a little more curly. So she either does a lot of straight looking ones and puts big theatrical storybook type curls in them, or she does now offer one that she calls coarse and bushy, where I think she perms it into very, it does look much more natural, but that is $500 or $600 more than the yak hair ones.
But anyway,
the point is, I get wicked warm being Santa Claus, and I don't tolerate being warm very well. So my first season, I didn't do a lot my first season because I was just getting started, but I knew right away I was in big trouble having a plush suit and a yak wig. End of 2019, early 2020, before we knew that there was going to be a whole COVID closure, I bought two new Santa suits from a company called Pro Santa Shop. They were velvet. One of them is what we call a traditional suit, which is just close your eyes, picture Santa Claus, fur down the front, scarlet red, that kind of thing. The other one I bought is a type that comes with what is called a continental coat. They're called a continental coat because they were actually made for like the Continental Army back in the day. They are an open front coat. It doesn't close.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still got fur down both sides of the opening, but it's meant to be worn open with a nice vest underneath.
Is it longer or is it still
little,
the same length?
No, it's mine. It's a little bit long, but not like super long.
It's not a gown. It's just
no. Like I have a couple. I have a couple longer ones, but this is just a coat.
Okay.
And so pretty quickly, that continental coat kind of became my favorite outfit because what I can do with a continental coat is go into a place, look all nice when I come in. Hat on, coat on, everything like that. And then I can go, oh, you know, if you don't mind, like you guys don't have your coats and hats on. If you don't mind, since I'm indoors, I'm going to take my coat and hat off. The continental coat is easier to take off because it doesn't close at the front and it doesn't have a belt over it. My traditional suit, I would have to undo my belt, undo the zipper, and then take it off. And then when I'm leaving, put the coat back on, zip back up, do the belt back up.
Right, yeah.
So the continental coat, however, I have a puffy style shirt. It looks like a Renaissance type shirt, like if I was going to a Renaissance.
Like Seinfeld.
A little bit, not with the ruffles on the front, but with the big puffy sleeves. And I have several of those now. But I can take the coat off, have on a vest. You know, I have a couple different vests I own, 3, 4, 5, I don't know. And then I can take my hat off and then I can sit there and be comfortable or as comfortable as I'm going to be. I'm usually still kind of warm. I've gotten to the point now where beforehand I say to the client, the parent, when I'm setting this up, I say, please don't set your thermostat any higher than 70 degrees Fahrenheit. In fact, please turn it down to about 65 degrees Fahrenheit. That way you don't have a sweaty Santa Claus in all your photos. And sometimes when I go to a home, I'll still wear a different suit. I'll still sometimes wear a traditional suit. And I have a Coca-Cola suit, which has buttons instead of fur. So, but yeah, that's basically my favorite preferred thing to do is to not have a coat and hat on at all.
So how many suits have you got then?
I have the one that has the continental coat. I have the traditional, so two. I have the Coca-Cola, so three. I have one that looks like the one David Huddleston wore in Santa Claus the Movie. It's kind of a combination of things. That one has buttons and fur on the front, and it has a big long overcoat that goes down to about my ankles. So four. And then this year, I have a robe that is just a robe that I kind of intend on wearing sort of like my continental coat, only it's longer. Mm-hmm. And so that's five. And I have a sixth one on the way, actually. So I have six.
You should have various... a lot of money for this wardrobe then.
Lots. Lots and lots of money. Yes.
But it's an investment, I guess.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So when does it actually... Oh, sorry. Do you know, I've just realized we didn't finish your story about how you became Santa. I think I'm not quite sure where we got up to.
I told you, I talk a lot, Jack.
These letters. Yeah, so this, anyway. It's fine, though. It's really interesting. So we got up to you replying to the letters, and then you were guessing from there to get more into it.
Well, and I found...
So what was your first... What was
I found
the
ZM Hair, and I got the... What was what?
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. Sorry, you bought the cheap suit, didn't you? That was the first thing.
Yes, I did. I had a cheap one made out of plush. It was like a Halco or something. And yeah, so in that first year, I did like one or two things. Like I was just getting started.
So what was your first foray? What was the first appearance as Santa?
Did
you go looking for it or did someone contact you?
I kind of did a little bit of both. I think I only did like two or three things that first year. There was a thing called the Festival of Trees that I did. And then there was a family. This is a great story. This is still a family. There's a family got in touch with me, from just friends on through mutual friends on Facebook. They had a little boy who he had been born prematurely and as such had health issues, and he has to breathe through a tube in his neck, and he is nonverbal stuff like it, but because of his health issues and because of having to breathe through a tube in his neck, he's very prone to illness and infection. So they had actually never taken him out. At the time I met him, he was 4 or 5, I believe. I can't remember off the top of my head. Anyway, the point is he was very young. And in his whole life, he had actually never been out to meet Santa because they were nervous to take him to the mall at Christmas time, where it was very packed, where people would be coughing, and where there would be children that could cause him some sort of infection. The only picture they had with him as Santa Claus was actually right after he had just been born. He was in his pram in the neonatal infant care unit at the hospital. Santa Claus had come in to the preemie ward and gone around and taken pictures next to all the babies in the neonatal intensive care unit. That was the only one they had. So I went to their house that first year. And then the second year, well, COVID happened and I had to set up this Santa Claus workshop in my basement and do virtual visits. However, that took off like crazy because one thing parents wanted that year was for their kids to have anything that seemed normal. And one of the things that seemed normal was seeing Santa Claus at Christmas time. So I did that. And then in 2021, at least here in the United States, where lots of people didn't seem to care about COVID at all, everything kind of just went back to another normal Christmas. And, you know, there were vaccines and everything by then. I felt safe going to people's homes, and I felt safe having them see me, you know, because I had a vaccine and everything like that. So, and a lot of people, boy, they wanted to have a regular, fun, awesome Christmas again. So in 2021, everybody was right back to it. And I got a bunch of gigs that year. And here I am now, ready for another busy year in, you know, the next 6 months when that comes up.
So when did it start? I guess it was last year, your busiest so far. You've been building each year, I guess. So what I'm guessing.
Was
so
last
when...
year my busiest? Yeah, I guess it was. I had a slow start last year, interestingly enough. A lot of other Santas I know are literally already booking or almost entirely full of spots for December. Like, they have people start asking for them literally as soon as they walk out their door. They have a lot of Santas have people go, okay, what day can you come next year?
Oh, wow.
I don't have that. And in fact, last year I was worried I was going to have a slow year because I had a hard time convincing anybody to book early. I tried really hard through advertising and everything to get people to book early so I didn't have a crunch at the last minute where I was trying to figure out where to fit people in. It didn't work out that way. I was worried I was going to have a slow season, but like I said, I ended up having a pretty good season. I did like 30-ish gigs last year, which is about all I have time for because I also still work for the United States Postal Service during the day.
Oh, you do? So it's just evenings and weekends? Or you work weekends as well?
I work Saturday. I work
Saturdays, yeah.
Once in a while. Oh boy. We have what's called a rotating day off. So I get a different day off every week. So sometimes I have a Saturday off. I think I have one Saturday this December. I'd have to look at my schedule. But otherwise, it's Sundays and evenings, pretty much.
What time's an evening for you? I guess because you must
finish. I get done at 4 p.m. I get done at 4 p.m. So I allow people to start booking at 5 p.m. They can book from 5 p.m. to like 8 p.m. on a weeknight. And they can book all day Sunday.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Well, I'll tell you the other thing real quick, since you also want to know. This is something I forgot to mention that I do, but this is my favorite thing I do. This is amazing. God, this is so much fun. And I've only done a couple of them so far. I hope this year I get to do more. I do what I call a Christmas Eve Santa sighting. Other guys call it a sneak a peek. I don't like sneak a peek. I prefer Christmas Eve Santa sighting. Christmas Eve Santa sightings, you can start booking at like 8:30 p.m. Christmas Eve, you know. And what a Christmas Eve Santa sighting is I come to your house, your kids are asleep. I come in, you let me in. I put all the gifts from Santa in my bag. And then you run off, wake your kids up. Wake up, wake up. Santa's here. Come on. Come on, shh, come on, come on. And I'm there in the living room. I don't look at them. I pretend like they're not even there, although they're kids. They whisper very loudly. kids don't understand whisper, but I pretend like I can't hear them. And there I am. Jingle bells, jingle bells. Oh, I love this ornament. I look forward to seeing this ornament every year. This is my favorite one. Oh, no. And they watch from wherever they're watching from. I do all my stuff, put all the gifts under the tree, have a drink. And then right before I eat the cookies, I look at my watch. I have a pocket watch and I go, oh, look at that. I'm running behind. I got to take these cookies with me and go. The kids are asleep. They won't know any different. And that's how that's how the parents know that, oh, we got to go. Hurry up before Santa turns around and sees us. Run back to bed, you know? And so, yeah, that's that.
That sounds quite magical.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I bet. So you've only done it twice.
I've done it three times now. Yeah.
Oh, three times. So, and the kids don't want to, I suppose the parents are holding them back anyway, but do the kids want to come and run up or?
They could. The first year I did it, I had a mother ask, the mother asked the first year I did it, if my daughter can't control her excitement. Can she run up and say hello? And I was like, yeah, of course. And let me tell you, the feedback on that is fantastic. Parents think the two sets of parents, I've done it two times for one family and one time for another family. And the feedback on it is fantastic because it blows their children's minds, right? Their children really get excited over this. And so the parents are real happy about it. And I love it because there's no other way in the world I'm going to get to be more like Santa Claus. I, Matt, am not going to be able to, in any other way, visit a stranger's home on Christmas Eve in my Santa suit, because I'm not going to be Santa Claus. I'm not going to be flying around. But doing these Christmas Eve Santa sightings is the thing. It is a complete stranger's home in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve, leaving their Christmas gifts under their tree for their children. It's great.
Yeah. So if you're doing it on Christmas Eve, how does that impact your family Christmas? Have you got young kids or?
No. I have three stepdaughters. They're all adults.
Oh, okay.
And one of them lives literally about as far away as she can get. She lives in Hawaii. So,
okay.
Yeah. So it doesn't really, no, it doesn't impact. It doesn't impact at all. You know, the two girls that live close will come visit, you know, they'll come back, Christmas morning or whatever. So
your wife doesn't mind you going out Christmas Eve, or she,
no.
Does she drive?
No, she doesn't. No. My wife, doesn't mind. My wife has, narcolepsy. So she likes to go to bed.
Okay.
So, yes.
So you, oh, that's good then, I guess, isn't it? That you actually get to go out and, you know, but do you know, I'm a lot older than Matt. I'm by more than 10 years. And I still...
A lot of my friends are. I hang out with a lot of guys in their 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Okay, well, I guess at least Santas.
Because they're Santas. Yeah.
So as Santas go, are you the youngest one you know? That's a professional?
No, nope. No, oh. I do not. No, I've had on my podcast a guy named Liam Grob, who lives in Pennsylvania. Liam is younger than I am. I've had on my show a wonderful Santa by the name of Hunter Woodson, who lives... Oh, shoot. Is Hunter in North Carolina or Virginia? I can't remember. Sorry, Hunter, if you hear this. Hunter is younger than I am. Hunter is amazing. My friend Stuart, who's been on this show, Stuart is younger than I am. There's plenty of younger Santas out there.
So I guess all of those guys have to have the fake beards then.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Designer, theatrical bearded Santas. Yep.
But they all look the business when they're all suited.
Absolutely.
Up.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, see, it's something
except around the eyes. Us younger guys, you can tell a little bit around the eyes, but beyond that, you can't tell, you know.
Yeah. See, it's something I really want to do, but I'm quite skinny as well, so I guess I'd be...
That's okay. I actually I put on padding. However, I know lots of slim Santas and it does not matter. I'll tell you Santa is starting to lose weight is one of the things that is going on, because remember, I just said a lot of these guys are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, and they are being very active at Christmas time around children. Plus, a lot of them have their own grandchildren. These guys can't hold that weight and feel good. So many Santas are losing weight now. For their own personal health. One Santa I know named Kenny. Kenny used to weigh like 300 pounds. And he lost so much weight. I can't remember off the top of my head how much. He's like in the mid... I don't know. Kenny might weigh less than I do at this... No, he can't. He must weigh about the same as I do at this point. It hasn't stopped him from being a fantastic Santa. The only kids... do not care if Santa is fat. They just do not care if Santa is fat or skinny. And if you're good enough at it, it won't matter. If you are good enough at being Santa, Even the but adults will sometimes say, "Boy Santa, you need to eat something," to a skinny Santa. Now, yeah. Like I said, I wear padding. I play a very Coca-Cola sized Santa when I do it, but I do know so many guys who weigh 200 pounds or so, or, you know, slim for Santa, and they claim the only people that ever notice are adults, and even the adults eventually stop caring.
Yeah.
So, well, I guess, and plus, also, it's starting to appear in film now too.
Kurt Russell, exactly. Yeah.
This Christmas, there's a movie coming out starring J.K. Simmons as Santa. It's a movie starring Dwayne the Rock Johnson. J.K. Simmons is going to be Santa, and J.K. Simmons is ripped. J.K. Simmons
is yeah, you're right.
A
plus
very
he's got form as well. He was Claus, wasn't he?
Voice-wise, he was Claus, yes, but he's going to do it in live action this year, and J.K. Simmons has not gained a pound. He is a very in-shape, muscular man, especially for his age, and he's going to play Santa this year. So, it's getting out there. Santa's losing a little bit of weight.
Well, there's hope for me yet, then. I think, to be honest, I think the main thing holding me back is I want to wait till my girls are old enough so that they don't believe anymore, because I don't think it would be right if they saw me walking around in a Santa suit.
Well, I can tell you what happens in that case, because I have friends that have young children and grandchildren. You're a Santa ambassador. There's lots of Santa ambassadors in the world. Here's the thing. And you can even get, there's a couple guys that make certificates for this. If you have a young grandchild, or a young child, you get a letter from Santa that says, "You know, I'm very busy this time of year. I can't be everywhere all at once to meet all the little boys and girls and that want to meet me. I have to pick special people to represent me out in the world and to pretend to be me. And I've picked you as one of those very special people. Your job is to make sure you spread the joy and love of Christmas and represent me and hear those children's wishes and then let me know what it is they want for Christmas, because I can't be everywhere. So I need your help." And then if your children ask, you go, "Well, look, I got this letter from Santa. I got this certificate. I was chosen by Santa to help him, because even though he's magic, he still can't visit all the boys and girls that want to talk to him, because he still also has to get ready to visit all of them on Christmas Eve."
You're selling it to me, but I still think I'm going to give it a couple of years before I do.
Hey, you know, it's just when it calls you.
So have you got any stories that you want to share of any exciting incidents that have happened?
No, not necessarily. It's great, you know. Kids are just really excited and happy to see you when you get there. Unless they're very, very young, Santa typically doesn't work for a little under three. Three and under is kind of not, they're not into strangers. And they don't quite understand Santa. Plus, you look a little funny as Santa. You know, he's got a huge beard. He's dressed in funny colors. So to kids three and under, Santa can be a bit scary. Unless they're a toddler. Infants. Infants have no concept of anything. And I love, last year I got to do like three babies' first picture with Santa. Love that. That's great too, because they just hand you this little baby and you just kind of go, "Oh, smile," you know, and you just kind of have your little baby there with you. And that's fun. I had a family last year, their son could not stop interrupting, could not stop getting up to run and go get things. And the mother said, "I'm so sorry." I said, "No," because he had run out of the room. "Oh, Santa, I want to show you something." He runs out of the room and she goes, "I'm so sorry, Hinky." And I'm like, "It's his time. Like, he can, it's his time. I'm here for him. He can show me whatever he wants. He can tell me whatever story he wants. Like, it's his time. Like, I don't care." And, you know, if he wants to run off and go get his favorite slippers to show me, that's cool. I'm perfectly happy to go, oh, look how great your slippers are. Like, oh, this is amazing. Look at those. They're so cute. You have a Santa hat too. That's wonderful. Oh, do you want to show me your favorite ornament on the tree? I love that. You know, you just meet them where they are and go with it and be happy and excited at everything they have for you.
So have you been to one of the Santa schools at all then?
Yep, I've been to Charles W. Howard a couple times. I'm going back
That's the daddy of the Santa schools. Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
It's the oldest Santa Claus school in the world. It is currently located in Midland, Michigan. It is run by a wonderful couple named Tom and Holly Valente. This year, their son Joe is taking more responsibility in the school because Tom and Holly are getting up there. And a couple of years ago, Holly had some health scares and everything like that. So they're looking towards doing less and having their children, especially Joe, do more, because Joe is also a Santa and Joe is a great guy. The Valente family are just wonderful people. I didn't get to go. I went in 2020. They had a very, very small class in 2020. Normally about 300 Santas go to CW Howard every year. Santas and Mrs. Clauses. And in 2020, they got a big hall, big, big, big place, and only put 100 people in it. So we were all distanced and everything like that.
I see, of course.
And then I went in 2021. And I couldn't go last year because I had to go to my brother's wedding. And then I'm going to go back this year. And also, I've been to the school of somebody I now consider a very good friend. In fact, I need to send him a message. Doug Eberhardt, who runs Pro Santa Shop, where I have gotten 3 of my Santa suits from. Doug, in 2021, started a school in Charlotte, North Carolina, called Pro Santa School. And Pro Santa School happens 2 times a year. In the spring, he does a course he calls the Practical Santa, which is sort of beginner to intermediate Santa's stuff. And I went to the very first one of that in 2021. And then in late summer, early fall, he runs Advanced Santa Studies, which I went to last year. I guess last year is the year I went to Advanced Santa Studies. So I've been to that. There's another one I really want to go to. I'm hoping next year, knock on wood, I couldn't afford to go this year and I didn't have enough vacation time. And it worked out pretty well that I couldn't go this year because other things in life. But it's in Georgia. It also runs 2 times a year, called Northern Lights Santa Academy, run by Santa Rick Rosenthal, who's been on North Pole Radio. And then there's one that happens a few times a year in Branson, Missouri, called School of Santas. I've never been to that. There's just so many of them. And then there's my friend Santa True, who's also been on my show a couple times. But Santa True does Christmas Performers Workshop, which I'm hoping to bring to my state early next year, because that is a traveling thing. True does that all over the country, wherever a group of Santas will host him.
So what sort of things are you learning when you go to one of these schools, and how long would it be? Like the average course is what, just a couple of days, a weekend?
Just a couple of days. Yeah. Just like a weekend. Okay. Let's see. CW Howard runs on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday this year. That's usually what it runs, is Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know, you learn, well, like at CW Howard, you learn a little bit of Christmas history. You learn about, obviously, Charlie Howard. You learn a little bit about the importance of, it, you know, depending on where you are. I haven't been to them all, but like at CW Howard and at Pro Santa School, you kind of learn a little bit about the importance of makeup, because a lot of older men have probably never put on makeup in their life. But there's a role for it in being Santa Claus, especially since you are going to be photographed a lot. It just makes you look better in pictures to have a basic idea of how to put on a little bit of foundation, a little bit of rouge, not a lot, not like painted up like a clown or anything, like just a little bit, so that you don't look washed out in people's photos, especially since you're already wearing a lot of white anyway, and you have a big white beard on your face. It helps to not have your skin, you know, look washed out and stuff like that.
So you wear makeup then when you're Santa?
Just a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you do that at the start, or was that something you picked up?
That's something I picked up later. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just a little bit. You don't need a lot. You learn different kinds of stories. There's an online one my pal Steve Gillum does called Santaology. I keep trying to get Steve on the podcast, and he's just a very busy guy. He had Santaology 1, and he's in the middle of writing Santaology 2. So Steve has the most incredible imagination and ability to create stories of anybody I've ever met, you know, except for writers. Like I you know, Steve, he is a writer. I don't think he writes a lot of this stuff down until he's ready, you know, until he's ready to write his book. He just kind of comes up with it. He's a very natural storyteller. I've learned a lot of stuff from Steve about different stories. So you kind of learn a lot about that. Performance skills, a little bit of singing. C.W. Howard, they teach a little bit of dancing. You know, you'll learn a lot of stuff. A lot goes into it. And you were asking me before we got started about, you know, thinking about it year round. Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking about it right now. I'm looking around. I've got props right here on my table, just out of your line of sight. I've got a bunch of stuff sitting around me, and I'm thinking, oh shoot, I've got to get some new stuff for this year because my clients have seen all this stuff before. So I've got to work on new stuff for this year.
So what's the plan moving forward? You're happy with the private events and parties? Are you going to stick with that, or mm-hmm. is there anything that's how you like it? You like the more intimate things?
Absolutely.
Rather than the line of kids all queuing up.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a lot of respect for the people that do it in public at malls, or over in the UK, the Santa Grottos, or here in the United States, interestingly enough, Bass Pro Shop and Cabela's, which are two outdoor sports companies, hunting, fishing, kayaking type places, are very, very big. They do nice Santa sets every year, and they're popular as heck. I couldn't do it. It's not in me. I did theater when I was in high school. I like to perform. I love telling my stories. I love having my props. You can't do that. Like, I've got your listeners aren't going to be able to tell, but here I've got, oh, look at this. Oh my goodness. Here we have, this is Dasher. And then who have we got here? Let me look. Oh, okay. Yeah. This is Dancer. I've got these reindeer photos I show everybody. There's everybody's favorite. There's Rudolph.
That's good. It's just, you know, boys and girls, these aren't cartoons. These are actually photographs of real life reindeer.
Yes. But and by the way, my real life reindeer are all of a special type of reindeer that only come from one part of the world. These are called Svalbard reindeer. Svalbard reindeer come from the Svalbard archipelago in Norway, which is, it's a little cluster of islands partway between Norway and the North Pole. Svalbard reindeer, unlike the common reindeer, are all white. Common reindeer typically are a lot of brown. Svalbard reindeer are all white. They live entirely in the Arctic, and they are also the smallest subspecies of reindeer. There's lots of different types of reindeer. Svalbard are the smallest type, hence 8 tiny reindeer.
Oh, there we go. Very good.
So, yeah. And also, Santa's reindeer, except for Rudolph, are all female.
Because they have their antlers.
Drop off. Yeah. Male reindeer. You can't tell on Christmas Eve because Rudolph's nose is so bright, but Rudolph doesn't have any antlers when he flies around on Christmas Eve. His dropped off in late October or early November. The rest of them, their antlers will not drop off until late January, early February. And then they'll grow new ones. And reindeer antlers are like human fingerprints because reindeer antlers are all different shapes. They all grow different shapes. And their antlers grow the exact same shape every year when they grow back. There's some
right?
of my, yep. There's some of
you
my
know that.
Education entertainment when I teach children, because children love to learn about reindeer.
Well, yeah, I do too. I'm well impressed with that.
I always tell children when they see that picture, I'm like, well, this one lives on this one. This one's in training. We might need, you know, in case one of the other one, you know, I show them the pictures of my other reindeer, you know, Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, all of them, and they're all white. And then I have the picture of me with a, you know, a common reindeer. And I'm like, well, this one lives on a farm. It's a different type of reindeer, but it's in training in case, you know, in case we ever need a replacement. At Rooftop Landing Farm, they had two reindeer that had different names. They actually didn't name their reindeer. At the Vermont Reindeer Farm, they have Comet and Cupid. That's what they named their reindeer. But at Rooftop Landing Farm out in Michigan, they had two different names for their reindeer. And I can't think of them off the top of my head, but yeah.
Right. Okay. So I think we're going to wrap it up there, but I have just a few more questions. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to recognize these questions. First question. On your tree, white lights or colored lights?
Hey, you're right. I do recognize that question. Colored.
Colored lights. Is that right? Do you have just the one tree?
Yeah. Yep.
And you always have colored lights?
Yep. White lights are for outdoors.
Oh, I see. Yeah, we have two. One is our main one in the living room. We have white lights because that's what the wife likes. But in the kitchen, we have like the kids' tree, which they decorate, and that has coloured lights. I think I like coloured lights because that's what I had when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So I think the nostalgia of Christmas is, yep. is also what you go back to, you know.
Yep.
Second question. For the top of the tree, is it a star, angel, or other?
Have you been listening to my podcast?
I have.
The top of my tree, I have a Santa.
Ah.
I have such a huge collection of Santa. I'm up to like over 100 of them now, I think. And one of them is on the top of my tree. Yeah. He's got a nice long red robe with a green robe underneath it. And he's got, instead of a Santa hat, he's got like a Father Christmas wreath on his head.
I know what you mean. Now, you may say the round kind if you like, but the question every Santa gets asked, what is your favorite cookie?
Okay, well, the answer for Santa, obviously, is the round kind, or the square kind, or the rectangle kind, or let's see, I like the gingerbread shaped kind, the tree shaped. You know what? How about this? How about you leave me your favorite type of cookie? Because here's why. You know, you like pizza, right? Yeah, well, wouldn't you get tired of eating pizza every single day? Like, wouldn't you want to eat a peanut butter sandwich or a hamburger or something? So if I tell you my favorite type, if I tell everybody my favorite type of cookie is chocolate chip cookie, well, then everybody's going to leave me chocolate chip cookies and I'll never get to eat a peanut butter cookie or an Oreo cookie or any other kind. So you leave me whatever your favorite type is, and then somebody else will leave me their favorite type, and somebody else will leave me their favorite type, and I'll get to eat lots of different types of cookies. That's Santa's answer. My answer is pretty much the same. I love cookies. There's pretty much none I don't eat. There's a cookie place local to me called Comfort Cookies that makes one, though, that is, I've never had from anybody except them. It is chocolate chip walnut coconut. So I'll throw that one in the mix as one of my favorite types.
That's a good answer. I like that. So number four, what is your favorite Christmas film?
It's a three-way tie between The Santa Claus, Santa Claus the Movie, and Muppet Christmas Carol.
You like Santa Claus the Movie?
I love it. Yeah, it's
and
you're great.
You were familiar with it. You've been aware of it like, most of your life?
No, actually. I only really discovered Santa Claus the Movie. I don't think I have a memory of ever seeing it until maybe 4 years ago.
Oh, wow. That was as recent as that.
Yeah. Goodness. I may have seen it before then, but my memory works very strangely. My memory is not as vivid or clear as some people seem to be. So like if I had seen it prior to then, I just don't remember it. It wasn't on any station over here on cable growing up. You know, I was born in 1987, so it's not like it was in a movie theater. I mean, it came out in 1985. And its distribution on home video has, from my understanding, changed hands a stupid number of times. So it didn't really get very many home video releases. You know, some movies come, you know, The Santa Claus belongs to Disney and they must put it out every single year since it came out, you know, on VHS, then on DVD, then on Blu-ray, then on 4K. You know, nobody did that over here with Santa Claus the movie. It just didn't come out. So I think the first time I remember ever seeing it was a few years ago. And I fell in love with it. The second half of the movie has some problems. It's not like fantastic beginning to end, but I'll tell you what, David Huddleston is the best movie Santa Claus.
I agree with that. Yeah, I'll tell you what, that film really holds up well. Obviously, it's set in the 80s.
Yeah.
But the effects and everything, I think it still it still does the business. Yeah.
Yep. So I love it. I got a poster of it just off to my right here. You can't see it on your screen, but it's right there.
And last question, your favorite Christmas song. Now, if you want to answer, you can have like a Christmas carol and a Christmas song. I'm happy for you to answer however you like.
I'll tell you what, for a Santa, this is not a popular thing to say. I am not a religious person. However, I can't escape the fact that Christmas has a lot of religious influence. It started out historically has something to do with Jesus, although arguably these days I would say that's not entirely true anymore. Don't come at me, people. I'm not going to have that argument. I'm not saying it to be inflammatory, anything like that. If you're listening and you believe in God and Jesus, that is entirely your right and thing to do. All that being said, boy, is O Holy Night the most beautiful song ever written. Holy moly, do I love that song. And when people sing it badly, I think they should be thrown in jail. It's a crime to sing that song so beautiful badly. But then beyond that, I would have to say Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Which version?
I mean, there's several versions I like. The one from the Rankin-Bass animated special sung by, you know, I want to say Gene Autry, but that's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I'm totally blank.
Not Bing, is it, that one?
No, and it's not. I got to stop trying to think of it otherwise, because I completely locked up. My mind went entirely blank. I know the answer. It's just not coming out of my mouth right now. That one's really good. People dump on this one, but Bruce Springsteen's version, I think, is a lot of fun. You know, there's so many versions of it that are just so good. So,
yeah, I think that the Jackson 5 one is my favorite. I think.
Yep. That one too. Yep. I like the Jackson 5. Yep.
So before we go, please tell my listeners about your podcast.
Yeah, North Pole Radio is available wherever you get your podcasts. You know, there's so many different places. I know that Apple and Spotify are popular, but it's on, you know, whatever you might listen to podcasts on. Mostly it's me talking to other Christmas performers. A lot of other Santas on my show and some Mrs. Clauses. But once in a while, I'll have just other friends on from other Christmas podcasts to talk about Christmas movies or whatever. My friend Santa Bruce on my most recent episode, Bruce just came back for a second time. Bruce is a professional chorus singer. He teaches music in college, and he just did a whole good long episode with me about the history of Christmas music. So it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I can't recommend it highly enough. Each episode's about an hour long. Is that right? About an hour?
Yeah, usually, give or take. Usually,
yeah. But it's just so interesting listening to how different people have come into the industry to become a Santa Claus. I really do enjoy, even this time of year, I really do enjoy the conversations you have with these other Santa Clauses. And especially because I'm interested in one day, you know, taking on taking on the robe, as it were. Yeah, and I just think it's brilliant. And it's nice when you listen talk to other people, like the first Mrs. Claus. I just listened to that one you spoke to. She was delightful. And also you spoke to a guy that dresses as the Grinch as well. I listened to that.
Joey, that is a great episode. Joey does the Grinch and Krampus, and Joey's story is just super interesting, super emotional. Yeah, that's a great one. He's a great guy.
So there you go, boys and girls. It's North Pole Radio Podcast. Go and check it out. Thank you so much for coming on, Matt.
Hey, really thanks for having me.
Yeah. I find it so interesting. I just what a wonderful job to have. There can't be many jobs out there that are more magical than actually being Santa Claus. So
no.
Fantastic. Keep up the good work. And thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you.
I want to say a massive thank you to Matt again for coming on the show. It was so interesting, and he has got such a broad knowledge of Santa Claus. It is incredible. I thought I knew a bit, but we were chatting and you could tell he just knew so much. And while we were recording, we also had a quiz, and that's going to be coming up either in next episode or the episode after. And it was unbelievable just how much knowledge he had. I was blown away by it. And like I said in the interview, the transformation you see in him as Santa Claus is unbelievable. It truly is. Thanks again, Matt. Now it's time for this. Oh, well, I wish it could be Christmas every day. Bob is back, boys and girls. And I just got to say, Bob, I love the way you pronounce my name.
Hey, thanks, Jack. Today's plan to celebrate Christmas every day began on, of all days, Christmas. My family thought I needed to drink more water. It has no flavor. So they gave me a hydro flask as a gift. It's cherry red and so very festive. Plus, they just happened to give me a total Christmas sticker at the same time, which I immediately added to my water bottle. I carry it with me now every day, and I stared at it for a month before I realized that I could add more stickers from my other favorite Christmas podcasts. First, I added Can't Wait for Christmas. Then, Tis the Podcast, Totally Rad Christmas, Christmas Countdown, and Deck the Hallmark. I'd add even more. There's still room. Come on, Christmas morning. But in the meantime, it's a walking advertisement. Plus, whenever I need a quick festive boost, I just take a sip. This may not have been what the family intended, but hey, it works. If you have a special gift to quench that holiday thirst, you pour over the details with Jack, he'll flow them to me, and we'll all drink them up next time.
Well, that was charming, wasn't it? Yeah, listing all those other podcasts, all the competition. Thanks very much. All those ones that are superior to my one. I was hoping no one knew about the other Christmas podcasts out there. And there you go. My mate Bob listing them all off. Thanks for that, Bob. Well, let me list another one for you. How about Festive Foreign Film Fans, presented by my mate Bob? If you haven't listened to it yet, we're just coming up with episode 3. It should be out in the next couple of days. I'm looking forward to that one more than the other two because I'd already heard the other two. He let me have a preview of the other two. This is my first one listening like at the same time as everyone else. Really looking forward to it. If you haven't checked it out yet, go and just Google Festive Foreign Film Fans podcast. You won't have any trouble finding it. And thanks again for your segment, Bob. Now it's time for this. This episode's recommendation is the North Pole Radio podcast with my new friend Matt Spaulding. Now, pretty much, Matt's show is very similar to the interview I did with him. In his episodes, he chats to real-life Santa Clauses about how they became Santa Claus, their history with Santa Claus before they came to Santa Claus, the suits they've got, the beards. It's so interesting, and there's so many different types of Santa out there. Some do magic, some do storytelling. There's all sorts. And of course, you've got Mrs. Claus. He's got interviews with Mrs. Claus on there as well. Yeah, I really enjoy it, and I think you will too. So check it out. That's North Pole Radio Podcast. You shouldn't have any trouble finding it. Of course, I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to go and find it that way. But seriously, check out North Pole Radio. And that is it for this podcast. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed recording it, and I've enjoyed shoving it into your ears. Yeah, that's been nice fun. But I don't think there's anything else to report. So if you want to get in touch, please do. You can email me. That's totalchristmas@gmail.com. You can go on the website, totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'm also on Facebook if you want to contact me that way. I put posts on there, like, you know, links to the stuff I've talked about, that sort of thing. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love ya. Merry Christmas.
Would you please tell her that you're not really Santa Claus? That there actually is no such person?
Well, I'm sorry to disagree with you, Mrs. Walker, but not only is there such a person, but here I am to prove it.